Good morning, boys and girls of all ages. It's good being with you. Have you ever had trouble talking, thinking about something to say to a friend? Have you maybe even had that same thing when you're praying to God, that you start and then you don't know what else to say? Well, in a minute, I'm going to be talking this morning about prayer. And so as a way to be able to think about this, I've got something called the five-finger prayer, and I'm going to teach it to you. So if you would hold your hands like you are praying, and the first thing we're going to do is we're going to raise up the pointer fingers like this. And this is the first one, it's the most important, and it's basically pointed heavenward, because God is most important, and we need to remember Him above all, and so we praise Him for His power and His grace and His creation and so many other things, so we tell God how great He is. Then what we do is we take our two thumbs and we move them this way. And the reason we move them this way is where they pointed. They're pointed to ourselves. And that's recognizing that God is so great, we recognize that we fall so short. We mess up, we are not kind, we don't do things we should, or we do things that we shouldn't. And so we confess it to God, we tell God what we've done. And then the next is the tallest fingers, I'll call them. And what we're going to do when we have those fingers is we're going to pray for our leaders. So our parents, our teachers, our church leaders and staff, and also our president and all the government at the federal level and in the state and local levels, we're going to pray for them. The next is the ring finger, and I learned this, that the ring finger actually is the weakest finger. Interestingly, and so when we are using the ring finger, we're going to pray for the sick because they're weak. And then finally, the smallest finger is our pinky, and Scripture tells us to not think more highly of yourself than we ought, and so we also are to pray for ourselves. So that's the five-finger prayer, and I hope that maybe you got something with that, and with that, let's pray. Thank you for loving us, God, and wanting to talk with us in prayer. Help us to remember this five-finger prayer or something else that's said today so that we can draw closer to you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you might have, but you might not have. I wanted to know if you've heard this man's prayer. And so it goes like this. Dear Lord, so far all I've done is all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been greedy or grumpy or nasty or selfish. I haven't been overindulgent, which I'm really pretty glad about that. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of bed. And then from then on, I'm going to need a lot more help. So whether you can relate to that prayer or not, I know that we all can grow in our prayer life. So through most of 2020 and as we begin 2021, there's been a whole lot of challenges. Our routines and our securities have been torn down. And I think most of us yearn to return and rebuild. As the walls around Jerusalem were destroyed, it's a time of rebuilding. So during the sixth week of Lent, we're going to be looking at Ezra and Nehemiah, two men who are leading God's people through restoring a destroyed nation. But it's not just about them way back when. We're also seeing how God's in the very midst of our own rebuilding as we develop spiritual disciplines. So last week, John preached an excellent sermon on the practice of confession. This morning, we're going to be seeking to draw closer to God through the practice of prayer. And in preparing this sermon, I have been greatly helped by the writing of John Ortberg and Richard Foster. And as we begin, I'd like for us to do a quick assessment by asking ourselves a couple of questions. How is my prayer life? Do I pray at all? Do I only pray at meals? So Nehemiah, the writer of this book, was not a religious leader or a priest. I think that that makes a difference. Rather, he was a layperson who served as King Artaxerxes' cupbearer, who was the one who tasted the wine and the food for the king to make sure that he wouldn't be poisoned. Now, Nehemiah is a book of prayers. And our text is actually just the first of 12 prayers that Nehemiah wrote. And the prayer that we're about to read clearly shows Nehemiah's close relationship and his trust in God, along with his deep compassion and his grief for his beloved Jerusalem. So let us give reverent attention out of the reading of this God's holy and inspired word from Nehemiah 1, verses 4 through 11. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We've acted very wickedly towards you. We've not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayers of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was cupbearer to the king. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Well, just what is or what are spiritual disciplines? I think as many of us are feeling disconnected and vulnerable and fearful, I think what better time than now to return to the Lord so that he can rebuild us. Developing spiritual practices that help us to draw closer to our good, good Father and to fortify us during these turbulent times. Disciplines or habits of the heart don't make God like our prayers more, or make us more spiritual or earn us brownie points with God. Some of you may have tried and tried to pray more or to pray more effectively, but it just hasn't happened. I appreciate how Ortberg points out that there is a tremendous difference between training to do something and trying to do something. If you want to do a marathon, you can't just start out by trying to run 3.5 or 26 miles. However, when you train each day, you put on your shoes and you run a little bit more each day. Training requires focused time and effort. Now, a spiritual discipline is any activity which helps you and me to gain power to live as Jesus taught and lived. As I yield to the Spirit, He changes my heart and life. The Apostle Paul tells it this way in 1 Corinthians 9. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. And then later in 1 Timothy 4, he says, train yourselves to be godly, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things. The phrase spiritual practices might sound mystical or complicated or even boring. However, if we commit to doing simple exercises regularly, we grow. When we go to the gym often and lift weights, our physical muscles develop. And similarly, if we want to live more and more like Jesus, then we need to do spiritual exercises that are going to develop our spiritual muscles. I think many people actually feel guilty that they don't pray more often. I think we think, shouldn't it be more automatic? But it's actually a learned practice. Prayer is not something that we master like mathematics or mechanics. Rather, it masters us. Prayer calls us to surrender control to God. Let's look now at a definition of prayer. Prayer, catch this, is an invitation into a growing love relationship with God involving ongoing conversations. I look at it as coming home. You know, however long it's been or however far you've traveled from, it's always good seeing our loved ones. And like any close relationship, it involves a transparent dialogue where we can truly be ourselves, honestly sharing our struggles, our joys, and even our heartbreaks. In Jesus, the Lord has already declared us His beloved children, which means that He wants to be close to us and to communicate often, just as parents do with their children, or as we share with our closest confidant. Picture this scene with me. Your loving father is patiently sitting in a big, oversized chair in the family room next to a warm fire. Whether you're coming in the front door or you're running down the stairs and out the door, he waits to spend time with us. His arms, they're always outstretched to embrace us, and there's always room for us to climb in to his lap. Being with the Lord, it takes our hurried, distracted, and frustrated life, and it replaces it with his peace and his joy. As we are conversing with God, we just come as we are. It's very comfortable resting in His presence. We can talk about anything and everything. There's no off limits. Like young children who have no filters and they just tell it like it is. In Matthew 7, verse 11, captures our good Father when it says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? Now, sometimes our view of prayer is limited, like maybe waiting until a crisis hit and then offering up that desperate plea. Not that the Lord doesn't want to hear from us, because He does. And yet, we're missing out on how much more fulfilling life can be when prayer is regular. It's a regular part of our daily plans and routines. Lent is a season of reflection. So now would be a great time for us to retool and rebuild with new spiritual habits. like competing in a sport or mastering an instrument, to develop the practice of prayer, you should start small. I'm going to say that again. You start small. If you haven't ever done this, begin with 5 minutes. And you might think to yourself, Scott, you got to be kidding me. That's so short. However, let me give you a little insight. Like starting or restarting at the gym, take it from me, if you do too much, you pay for it days later and you aren't real motivated to go back. It's much better to pray a little every day than to convince yourself, I need to pray for an hour every day, and then rarely do it. Begin where you are, not where you think you're supposed to be. Build up your strength and stride. Maybe just say a simple prayer at the end of the day, telling God what happened and what you're thankful for. Well, now I want to offer you some tools for prayer. What's most important in prayer is offering it from the heart. A tool or a technique is only good if it honestly engages us with God in life-giving conversations. Now I'm going to share a few suggestions which might help you to take the next step in your prayer life, but also realize that everybody's different. So don't compare, don't copy others. Your practice of prayer should be consistent with your temperament. I've also found that at various seasons of your life, we pray differently. With busyness so much a part of our lives, for us to have an effective prayer time, we must be vigilantly intentional. Kind of two big words. Now, I realize that some of you might have a prayer style that's like having an ongoing conversation with God throughout the day. And if you do, awesome, keep it up. But if not, I would encourage you to choose a time and a place, because it's so much better when we have something established. Determine when, during the day, when you're most available and fresh. It's also important to choose a place somewhere where you always can go to pray, whether that's a particular room in the house where you have no distractions, whether it's out on your porch or your patio so that you can have a nice view. Now, on a side note, most or some of you will probably know that Muslims pray 5 times a day. And when I was in Jemma, Ethiopia, back in the fall of 2019, every morning before daylight, anywhere between 4:30 and 5:30 in the morning, a loudspeaker blasted the call to prayer. Now, I understand our beliefs are very, very different than theirs. You have to, though, admire their dedication, even understanding that it's works-based and they're required to do it. But when I think about it, we should answer these questions for ourselves. What would someone say about our own prayer practices? Does praying actually make a difference in our lives? So next, we want to prepare our heart. And for that, look at our posture. Is it better to have our eyes open or closed, hands raised, sitting or kneeling? Doesn't really matter, but just do whatever puts you in a posture that you can openly share and listen. Next, our attitude. We need to be real friends. No need to impress God or others. We don't need to offer, hopefully this will give you some relief. You don't have to offer King James prayers. Heavenly Father, as thou wast in heaven, God knows our hearts, so we don't really need to do that. And which reminds me of a great Tony Campolo story. Most of you know he's an author and a speaker, and he tells a story of preaching in a church one Sunday morning, and as is normally the case after the sermon, the service is over, then in the back people file out and they say something usually nice to the pastor. And so that was happening, and towards the end there was this woman that came up to Dr. Campolo and said, you know, your sermon was great, had lots of really helpful points, but I have a problem with your prayer. There are several grammatical errors. You have a couple of run-on sentences, and as only Tony can do, he looked at that woman in her eyes and said, look, lady, I wasn't talking to you. And I share that because whether we're around people or not, when we pray, we're talking to the man upstairs. We're talking to God, and we need to remember that. So God is omniscient, but he's also imminent. So make sure you pray not just about the big issues, because I think sometimes we think, I don't want to trouble God. Pray about the big issues, but also pray about our little details, because God wants us to be specific. Share not only your thoughts with God, but also your emotions too, because guess what? He created you with them. And you may already be familiar with this tool, but if not, it can guide you in knowing what to say in your prayers and what you can talk to the Lord about. And I found this acronym helpful in my own prayer life, and it's also a pattern that Nehemiah used. And that foundational tool is the ACTS model of prayer. And it's each letter is a different word. And I'm going to give you a heads up that at the end of each of the elements, I'm going to give us an opportunity to pray. So, A. A is for adoration. This is the beginning point of prayer. Recognizing who God is himself. So we're praising the Lord for his attributes, his character, his nature. Completely focused on the majesty and sovereignty and power of God. What I love is that adoration lifts us above ourselves to behold the beauty and the wonder of God. Nehemiah captures some of this in verses 4 and 5 when he says, the God of heaven, great and awesome, who keeps his covenant. In addressing Almighty God, what's important is not how much faith we have, but rather to whom we're praying, which is good news because he's faithful. God is the object of our prayers. So even if we have but a mustard seed, it's okay because he is going to answer our prayers. So verses which help us to praise the Lord can be found in Psalm 95 and Psalm 100, many other places. But let's bow now and go to the Lord in prayer. Hear us, Lord, as we offer you our adoration. Amen. C is for confession. When we fill our hearts with the glory of God, we're naturally going to see the darkness of our own lives. When we confess, it means to agree with God about our sin. In confession, we're admitting to him, he already knows it, but and to ourselves, the wrong that we've done or the things that we've left undone, both personally and corporately. So in verse 6, Nehemiah says he's praying night and day, confessing his sins, his family's sins, and the sins of the people of Israel. True repentance grieves sin, turns away, and goes in a different direction. But the good news is when we tell God the truth, we come clean. We let go of the guilt and the shame we've been carrying, and instead we receive the Lord's forgiveness and freedom. Verses which help us confess to the Lord can be found in Psalm 51, 1 John 1:9, and other places. So let us now go to God in prayer. Hear us, Lord, as we offer you our confession. Amen. Amen. T is for thanksgiving. Because when we truly understand how God has rescued us from the bondage and penalty of sin, then we realize that the fundamental motive of Christian living is thanksgiving. One of the marks of the Spirit's work in us is having an attitude of gratitude. This part of our prayer is focused on thanking God for what He has done for us. It's really easy for us to forget the Lord's goodness. The 10 people that Jesus healed and only one went back. Easy to forget God's goodness in our lives, but regularly I want to encourage us to make a list of His innumerable blessings and thank Him for these gifts that come from His hand. As the song says, count your blessings, name them one by one. You know, thankful people are joyful and content people. In verse 8, Nehemiah tells God, remember the instruction you gave. Because Nehemiah is thankful for God's steadfast love. Verses which can help us thank the Lord can be found in Psalm 9 and Colossians 1. Let us pray. Hear us, Lord, as we offer you our thanksgiving. Amen. S is for supplication. Kind of a big word, but it means asking with intensity, earnestness, and perseverance. It involves interceding on behalf of others and petitioning for ourselves. Our understanding of intercession is when it's standing between two parties and pleading the case for the other. It's selfless love, and we beseech God on behalf of the needs of others. This involves listening and caring. We see Nehemiah's heart with the people of God when in verse 10 he intercedes for them by calling to them, return to God and obey His commands, and reminding the Lord that His servants and His people, whom God has redeemed by His great strength and mighty hand. So many of you have been praying for Karen and me for months regarding her cancer journey. Thank you, thank you. We are deeply grateful for your faithfulness. And truth be told, your prayers have truly sustained and encouraged us. And we praise God. He is answering many of them as she is entering her second week of radiation tomorrow. Verses which help us to intercede for others, we can turn to Psalm 86 and Ephesians 6:18. Let us pray. Hear us, Lord, as we offer you our supplication. Amen. So as you conclude your Acts prayer, be sure not to forget to spend time in silence. I think we know this, but we forget that we need to listen to God. Because conversation, prayer, is a two-way conversation. So we need to not only listen to God, we also need to wait on His response. He may give you a thought, a picture, a song, a sense on your heart, or a scripture. Also, commit yourself to act if the Lord prompts you to do something, like He did in this passage with Nehemiah, persuading him to speak to the king. You never know, God might be using you to answer someone else's prayer. Now here are just a few other quick tools You might choose one that works best for you. First, probably, and greatest, praying the Scriptures. If you just don't know what to pray, pray the Scriptures. Because this, doing this, is going to give you a greater vocabulary in your own prayer time. Because you're utilizing that great resource of God's Word. It's not only truth, which it is, but it's also His love letter to us. It's also, the Scriptures are also the primary way that God speaks to us. After all, the same Holy Spirit that inspired the Scriptures also lives inside each believer. Next, use a prayer journal. Write down your prayers to God. Now, as we kind of talked about earlier, don't be worrying about spelling and grammar and full, complete sentences, none of that. Just get it down, your thoughts down on paper, because it's a great record of how you see God at work, how He's answering your prayers and how He's changing us. Next, have a daily prayer focus each week. Something like, Sunday we're going to pray for church leaders and staff and ministry, Monday for family, Tuesday for friends and co-workers, Wednesday for non-believers, Thursday for our global missionaries, Friday for local missions, the needs and issues, and Saturday for those who are sick and hospitalized. Or get a prayer partner. This is like super important because that person's going to encourage us when we don't really want to do anything anymore, and they also can, we can hold each other accountable. And if you've ever been in kind of a training situation, it's always better doing it with a partner. And then take five. What do I mean by that? Set an alarm on your, probably your phone, not your watch, to remind you to pray for 5 minutes. Maybe it'll be at 7 a.m. or 12 p.m. or 9 p.m. It doesn't really matter when it is. But as the Nike slogan reminds us, just do it. You know, you might also consider joining many believers who are praying daily the Lord's Prayer at noon. Also, if you're interested, we've got a church prayer chain. If you're interested, also, if you want to participate in our weekly prayer time, if you're interested in any of those things, just talk to one of the pastors. We'll get you hooked up with that. And then, you probably don't do this, but some people, some of us, worry. So I want to look at a couple worry busters. The first is the statement, don't weigh it, pray it. Because, let's face it, He's the only one who's going to be able to do anything about the issue that we're worried about. My wife likes to say, God changes us from worriers to prayer warriors, W-A-R-R-I-O-R-S. And then A-S-A-P, when you're worried, always say a prayer. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your request known to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. As you and I grow in the practice of prayer, it's pretty cool because our understanding changes from seeing that God is a part of our life to instead, truly, we are a part of God's life and His mission. We're ending where we started. Prayer is an invitation to the very heart of the Father. He desires to have an ongoing, loving relationship with each of us. And as I've matured, I can see that prayer is really not about me changing God's mind, but it is about Him changing my heart. We see this in Nehemiah's life at the beginning in verse 4, when he's hearing about the rubble and destruction of Jerusalem, he's devastated. He's heartbroken. And yet, as he talks to God through this passage, by verses 10 and 11, We see how through prayer the Lord has changed his heart, and now he's filled with faith and hope. May that be true of us, that we return to the Lord in prayer, who is the one to restore us and to give us greater faith and hope in him. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I want to invite you to stand. I want to invite you to stand and in a spirit of prayer. Let's continue to go to God corporately here this morning. God, what a privilege it is to come before you together, where we've talked about individually kind of praying and corporately together. And Lord, what a blessing it has to gather here this morning to come before your throne of grace and boldly pray as we stand here this morning. Lord, we want to grow in this area of our spiritual lives. Lord, we want to talk with you more. We want to listen to you more. And then out of that time, we want to obey you. We want to be sent out to make a difference. Lord, in our homes, where we work, in our neighborhoods. Lord, we want to get to know others and care for them and love them and to be praying for them. And so we pray for opportunities, Lord, that we can take more and more steps of putting ourselves out there and spending time in prayer with you. Lord, we have so many things, Lord, to pray for in our world right now. Lord, as things are constantly changing, as Lord, we continue to hear of devastation and heartache, and Lord, within our own city. Lord, we want to be a people who are praying for the welfare of our city, for the good of our city, and ways that we can bring peace and hope here. Lord, we want to be praying for, Lord, our nation, one nation under God, that we would be seeking you. We pray for, Lord, President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris and all the others who have been appointed to positions of leadership and elected to positions of leadership, Lord, we pray that they would use their influence in a way that honors and pleases you. Lord, we pray for them, that you would be working in their hearts and their lives, Lord, changing their hearts, Lord, giving them wisdom and discernment to lead. Father, we pray for our world. Father, as we often hear of things that bend our heart, Lord, I pray that those things that, Lord, that you draw to our attention, that they would be brought to our minds in order that we may take them to you in prayer. So as we learn about things happening all over the world, whether it be human trafficking or whether it be Lord, a war or genocide, Lord, as you get us to be aware of situations, Lord, your word tells us to take every thought captive for Christ, and I pray that this would be one area where we would seek to be more disciplined, and that's in our prayer life, that we would, as Scott said, begin to learn how to take all things to you as your disciples. And so, Lord, increase our prayer life in the spirit of the prayer of Jabez. Lord, increase it more and more so that we could, Lord, be a work in your kingdom more and more in this key area of prayer. Lord, we are growing. We will never arrive in this area. It's hard. And it's hard work. And we have to keep at it. And I pray that we would maybe use some of the tools we talked about this morning to have that desire to increase our prayer life, Lord. And we know that you give us the desires of our heart. And sometimes we need some accountability along the way. And so I pray that we would use that tool as well. Father, we want to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. Lord, as your disciples, we need help. And so together, Lord, thank you for that gift of togetherness you give us. Together we pray. Lord, as disciples, we're learning how to pray and asking Jesus. Lord, in that same spirit, together we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.